Is this working all right? Shall I begin? Yep, great. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This was my dad's favourite Bible verse, so much so that in our family home where I grew up, there was a very large collage that sort of nearly filled a whole wall, which had buildings of Hemel Hempstead stuck all over it. And there used to be a very tall tower called the Kodak Tower, so that was very prominent. And above it were the words, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Quite an unusual piece of artwork, but very memorable. And if my dad ever gave me a book or a Bible, this would be the verse in the front of it. So I actually feel it's quite fitting to end my time here at St. Paul's speaking on this verse, because my dad, A, is cheering me on, saying, fantastic, go for it. And also, it reminds me why I am moving on. Because in the end, I'm not going to cry. Above other things we put our security in, the bottom line is, I've decided to follow Jesus. And there is no turning back. And I remember as a young child, I remember learning about Jesus and the cross and praying prayers for Jesus to be my saviour. But as a teenager, it was really when I felt that call to be his disciple and follow him wholeheartedly, give him my whole life. And I was at a youth camp, and I remember, though, feeling really scared and terrified and thinking, oh, but I can't do it, and what if God asks me to do something really difficult? I know I won't be able to do it, and I'll let him down. And there was this real battle going on with sort of fear and wanting to say yes to Jesus. And I talked it through with a youth leader that was there, because I was quite upset. And they were great, and they reassured me that God would give me the courage to do anything that he asked me to do, and he has done. And they showed me that, you know, this fear was the lies of the enemy, and there was actually a spiritual battle going on trying to stop me making that decision to follow Jesus. And so even though, of course, there's part of me that would love to stay here with the friends I've made and enjoy the presence of God that we experience in our services and serve with Jenny and the other wonderful leaders here, when I felt God nudging me to go and lead my own church, even though that's something I've tried to avoid, even tried out chaplaincy to, you know, avoid that call, but I knew God was calling me to that. And so I said yes, not because I think I'll be great at it, not because I wanted a big vicarage, though we have ended up with one, but just because that's why I know God is calling me and he's promised to be with me. So the first thing I'd like to take out of our reading today is that we have to overcome our fears sometimes, and God can help us to overcome our fears so that we can follow wherever God is calling us, whatever God is calling us to do. There's been lots of times, especially in my curacy, but previously in teaching, where I've had to do things for the first time. And, you know, that is quite scary. And I found these verses from Isaiah 43 have always helped me and given me the confidence and courage to do that. It says that this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Looking ahead, I could be worried about so many things. Not just what to eat and not just what to wear, though I do need to go and do some clothes shopping. The Sunday morning attire is formal clergy dress, which is different to the robes, so definitely need to go to the shops. But other things are slightly, you know, could be worrying me, how I'm going to manage four churches and adjust to living in a village when I've always grown up in towns and cities. But up till now, I've been sleeping pretty well, I'm glad to say. Well, until last night, to be honest with you. but, you know, the bottom line is that God has called me to do this. And so he says, do not fear. You will not be swept away or overwhelmed with what is ahead, for I will be with you. So that's what I'm holding on to. And I wonder today if there's anyone here, the Holy Spirit has been prompting you to step out and do something that you know, that nudging, but there's this fear going on and you're feeling, I can't do it. What if I can't do it? What if I make a mistake? What if I, you know, slip up? Just go for it. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy that he would whisper in your ear, because God is with you. The Lord says, I will be with you. Seek first my kingdom and I will take care of everything else. The second thing I'd like to say about this verse is to just think a little bit about the context. So we had this verse on the wall, but we only had the first bit, seek first the kingdom of God. And it could come across as a little bit forceful and pushy and, you know, you must do this. And it didn't have the promise on the end of it, you know, that all these things will be given you as well. And it also didn't have the context. So if we look earlier at the earlier verses that we heard this morning, you see the love and value that Jesus is placing on his followers. He's concerned. I mean, the reason he's talking to them about their worries is he's concerned to see them worrying. He doesn't want them to worry. He doesn't want them to be anxious. So that concerns him, and he wants to stop them doing that and help them with that. And, you know, he's sad that the worries are robbing them of the joys of today because they're already worrying about the next day. As God's children, we can have this childlike trust that he is going to provide, that he knows what we need even before we ask him. It says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? You know, they didn't know how valuable they were, how precious they were to the Lord. And Jesus is saying to them, don't you know how much God loves you? You're not like the pagans that don't know their heavenly Father. You know you've got a good heavenly Father. You're the sons and daughters of a loving Father. So he's saying, instead of putting all our energies into working day and night to fill up our larders and our wardrobes, make time to pursue the works of the kingdom, living lives of worship, love, and service. And he'll see to it that there's food in our larders and clothes in our wardrobes. And I just want to talk a little bit about the Sabbath. This is why, partly why God instructs his people to take a day's rest, called a Sabbath. By choosing not to work, to rest and make time for God, for family, for friends, for recreation, for being in creation, and so on, we're saying to God, I trust you to provide for me. If I don't work 7 days a week, if I take a day off on that day, I'm saying, Lord, I trust you that you're going to provide. And so if we live life following his pattern for living, the kingdom pattern he set out for us, blessings will follow. Everything we need will be provided for. You know, and it can be a real act of faith to take a Sabbath rest, to trust God. And maybe it's something you've never done. It's not something I find very easy to do, especially when you're getting ready to move house. So I can just confess here that I haven't been practicing it the last few weeks, so I'm preaching it to myself as much as all of you. But it comes back to that knowledge that God, how much God cares and loves for us. So he'll even provide for us, rest for us. He wants us to rest so that we can recharge and refuel and our relationships, we can have time for relationships and fun and fellowship. More and more Christians are finding in their lives, in our busy, hectic lives, that Sabbath time is actually a gift of God to us. That seeking first the kingdom of God may not actually be a back-breaking thing to do, but may involve some rest. I think that's good news. And so the context of this verse, seek first the kingdom of God, is that God is our loving Father, deeply values and considers every one of us as precious to him. And so he knows we need rest in our lives as well as work. So please, if that's something you know God may have been speaking to you about, do something about it. Get your diaries out. Chat to your family or friends about it. Rejig how your week looks. Maybe you need to stop doing something. And maybe, dare I say to those of you that are parents, perhaps your children need to stop doing something. You know, when our diaries are so packed, it's hard not to be worried about how we're going to fit it all in. And it's very difficult. So perhaps there is just too much in our diaries. So firstly, let's not let fear stop us seeking first God's kingdom. And secondly, we're deeply loved by God and precious to him. So he will take care of us. And Sabbath rest is one way of expressing our trust in God that he is going to take care of us. The final thing I want to say today about this verse is basically, I found it to be true. There's a surprise. It's in the Bible and it's true. I guess I'm thinking more about the second part of this verse now as well. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, And all these things will be given to you as well. So I want to finish my talk today by thanking God for his faithfulness. And Daphne, when she was preparing the worship songs today, she kindly wrote to me saying, oh, is there a song perhaps you'd like to have sung this morning? And if you come to my last listening service, we're going to sing it again. It's a song Derek and I had at our wedding, and we're going to sing it after my talk. It's Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I want to thank God today. You know, I want to join with the sun, the moon, and the stars in their courses above by giving witness to his great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Yes, there has been sacrifices along the way to go through training, to move on from churches where we felt loved and enjoyed being part of God's family and had friends. I think that is the biggest cost, saying goodbye to friends. But God has given us new friends, and I've been so blessed by people here who've enriched our lives and welcomed us and broadened our experience of God and his kingdom. People that have sharpened us as iron sharpens iron and challenged us by their passions and the way they live for Jesus, the way some of you serve Jesus in different ways, it's just so blessed me and inspired me. So for example, there are so many qualities in our wonderful vicar, Jenny, that inspire me, and I could stand here all day and talk about them, but I won't. So that the biggest one, that I'm sure you will see, is her passion for reaching people with the good news of Jesus. And her faith that Jesus can mend broken lives. She's experienced on her own life, through her own testimony, and then she's seen Jesus do it in other people's lives and stands with people as God is doing that work and prays for them. And then there's Emma, our children and families worker. She's got this incredible passion and compassion for anyone who is in need. She lives out the reading that was in last week's lectionary from Isaiah 58. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor and wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them. So that's just Jenny and Emma. I think I'm leaving the church in very capable hands. But don't ever expect to get comfortable. Now, I won't start naming those of you from the congregation who've inspired me, because I will leave someone out and it would be an even longer talk. But just to say, I thank God for the love and friendships he's blessed me with here from this community. So thank you. And I just want to close with one story of God's provision and faithfulness to Derek and I as we stepped out to move to Letchworth. And I know I've shared this before, so apologies if I'm repeating myself. Due to COVID, our move had been delayed, and they were like, no, actually can't get into the house in June. We've got tenants in there. We've got to give them longer to stay, and maybe September. And so we couldn't start sort of sorting out our house and get it on the market to rent it out before we left it. I was quite apprehensive about having tenants in my home and everything that I loved. So anyway, all of a sudden we get this phone call at the start of June, I think it was, saying, oh, the tenants have gone, the house is empty, when can you move in? I was like, oh, okay. So we hurriedly organised everything and needed to find some tenants, and it was all really like a bit of a whirlwind. And on the day of the move here, the agency had some people to show round, so quickly hoovered, got the Hoover out the front door, put it in the car, the prospective tenants arrived. Anyway, it turned out that we knew them through a friend at our previous church. And we left them, we said goodbye to them, and we were in the car driving up to Letchworth, and these were the first people that had stepped through our front door, and we got the call from the agency saying, they want to rent your house. And it was just such a relief knowing that they were people that we could trust with our home, that God had just sorted it even before we'd got to Letchworth. The timing of it, I just felt so encouraged that God was with us. And we, as we sought first the kingdom of God in following his call to come here, he was taking care of everything else. And I have, you know, I just know he's met all my needs. That's just one example. So seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you as well. Let us pray. Lord, it can seem a hard thing that you call us to seek first your kingdom. But thank you, it's because you love us so deeply as your precious children that we can trust you. And so we don't need to live lives filled with fear or worries about the future. And so we give you thanks today for your great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Amen.